Welcome to the January 10th, 2010 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today we install new deacons. Today's message is from Reverend Raven Smith and is entitled, Present. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
Several announcements that we have listed there in the bulletin. Invite you to take a look at these. One of those, we are having children's celebration today. That is when all the children leave worship here in the sanctuary, and we go with our juniors and seniors in high school who will be leading us in Smith Hall. So we will leave during the second hymn, which is hymn number 390. We are called to be God's people. We invite you, just all the children, just to come out with us to Smith Hall. Parents, that's where you can pick up your kids at the end of the service. Other announcements that are listed there. We have primary basketball. This is our regular basketball season has been going on for our elementary kids and our youth. But we have a six-week primary basketball league that teaches just the basics of basketball in a fun, exciting way. We will start that on January the 21st. It will not be 6 to 9:30 p.m. as it's listed in your bulletin. I will cover from 6:30 to 7:30, and our secretary will cover from 7:30 to 9:30. I'm going to mark that down. We got to have a conference. It is 6:30 to 7:30. That's about all the children can take. It's about all I can take, too. So 6:30 to 7:30, starting a week from this Thursday, will be our primary basketball. Reminder as also, you received a letter in the mail this week from the church, kind of explaining a little bit of the history of the vote that was taken last week by the church in called conference. The letter explained the process that the motion was brought to the church to take the money that's been collected to begin work on the architect and construction documents. We have sent a letter out that explains all of that. We had a great discussion this past Wednesday. We had another discussion this morning, and there will be another discussion on Wednesday. If you have questions about that letter, about the process, we're trying to make this open and dialogue for you to come and ask any questions that you may have. Again, that will take place during Wednesday night, the regular prayer time and Bible study time in Smith Hall. So if you have any questions about that, make sure you check your mail, read that letter, and then come to church with any questions. Call anybody on the committee that's listed at the bottom of that letter, and we'd be glad to talk with you about that. There are several other things that you'll notice there, opportunities for the week on the back of the bulletin, as well as upcoming events, many things that are happening in the life of our church, and want you to be a part of those as you are willing and able. I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You have already given us your information on the pew pads just a few moments ago. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. If you're a guest, all we ask you to do is just to raise your hand right where you're sitting, and the ushers are coming back down the aisles now. They will be glad to give you some information. Just raise your hand. They will give you a packet. Inside the packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation, as well as you'll find a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on currently in the life of our church. So we are so excited that you are in worship with us today. We pray God would speak to you in a mighty and powerful way. It is time for us to worship together. On this day, around the world, the Lord's Day, people who call on the name of Christ have gathered in homes, in sanctuaries, places of all different shapes and sizes, to do exactly what we are doing, together, corporately, worshiping God. Let us do it with everything we have. Will you pray with me? Father, when we open our eyes, when we open our ears, we can clearly see you and hear you. While there can be many distractions, many things that cause us to lose our focus on you, let this time, this hour, this moment, let us listen and look and change. This is why we need you in this place. Please enter this sanctuary. Be our guest. Be our focus, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
If you will, keep your hymnals handy. Our scripture for today comes from Romans 12, the first four verses, and then also verses 6 through 12. And this is listed as responsive reading number 707. So we will share the scripture together responsively. I'll give you a minute to find that. Responsive reading 707. This is from Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think.
In one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function.
Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them.
If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, he who teaches, in his teaching.
He who exhorts in his exhortation, he who contributes in liberality, he who gives aid with zeal, he who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness.
Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor.
Never flag in zeal, be aglow with the Spirit, serve the Lord.
Rejoice in your hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer.
Thank you. As we move into time of pastoral prayer, I'd like to share with you several prayer requests regarding two of our dear friends and church members who this week passed away and went on to be with the Lord. You'll see the flowers behind me, which were given by the Austin family in memory of David Austin, who passed away on Monday. Here in town, and we had a service to celebrate David's life and worship on Thursday here at the church. And late on Friday night in Arlington, Virginia, our dear friend Fred Farmer passed away. So I want to let you know that so you can be praying for Janice and all the Farmer family in addition to the Austin family. And we'll have a service, a celebration of Fred's life next Saturday at 1 o'clock here in the sanctuary. So please keep those families in your prayer, and please join me in prayer right now. Dear Lord, we're just so humbled, Lord, to come before you in prayer, gathered as the body of Christ. And it is a blessing, Lord, when we celebrate high moments together. It is certainly a blessing to worship before you as we are right now. And Lord, as we are here, we know that others are elsewhere, specifically these two families who have lost husbands and fathers and grandfathers this week, Lord. And we just lift the Austin family and the Farmer family up to you. We thank you for the ways that you have blessed us through them, and the way that you have allowed them to be such a big part of this church, and a lot of the fellowship and Bible study and discipleship and choir and all the other ways, activities that they have served. And we have gotten to know them and enjoyed these friendships. Thank you for working the way you have through the two of them, Lord. And we lift these families up in prayer that they may feel your loving and abiding presence more closely now than they have in their entire lives. And we just lift them up, Lord, and help us as their Christian family to continue to lift them up in prayer in the days ahead, because certainly dealing with this loss will be difficult. But Lord, even in thinking about the loss, we are so thankful to know that even among the tears and among the grief, that there is certainly a reason to celebrate the life of two believers who accepted your promise through Christ. And as a result of that, they are experiencing the incredible, immeasurable, indescribable presence of God today as we worship here. And we just thank you so much for that, Lord. Lord, for others, those that are here together, those of us that are here right now, and those that are not, we lift everyone up to you. Lord, we're all struggling in different ways. We all have many different challenges before us right now. Some of them physical, some of them emotional, some of them spiritual. For some of us, Lord, maybe we've drifted a little farther away from you And we need to kind of turn back and head toward you. For others of us, Lord, we may just be discouraged because what's going on right now is just hurt us. And we're having a hard time getting back on track. Lord, I lift every one of them, no matter what they're dealing with, I lift them up to you. Because we know and we give thanks that you are bigger than everything on this earth. You're certainly bigger than the problems that we're facing right now. Help us, Lord, to turn that over to you and be sincere in our humility and in our worship as we lift our concerns up to you and trust in you that you can help us overcome whatever we may be facing at this moment and whatever may be in front of us this week. Lord, for the many ways that you're working around us and through us, thank you, Lord. Continue to use us in any way that we can be used for your glory. As a church, we want to be a church that follows the example of Christ and that does good things around us and spreads your love and your name everywhere we can spread it. Lord, please use us. Please use us not only in our strength, but in our weakness and our sinfulness. Use us to make a difference for you and to do what you would have us to do. Lord, thank you for each person here. Thank you for the incredible opportunity to be in your house, to worship with fellow believers, and to feel the spirit of energy and thankfulness that is here this morning. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together today to praise you. We thank you for our church ministers and staff and their work each day to spread the news of your love. We thank you for the many church volunteers who teach, encourage, and lead us. We thank you for the vision of what our church can be in our community and beyond. We pray for your guidance and unifying presence to be with us. Thank you for those who have honored you in their lives here on earth and are now with you in heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
in the last several years, we have deacon installation and ordination on the second Sunday of the new year, and that is why we're gathered here today to worship, but also to look forward to a year of ministry and our servant leaders that you've elected and entrusted to lead us in that regard. We want to give recognition to as well as affirmation of this morning. So as we begin this time of deacon installation, I want to invite Chris May. Chris is an outgoing deacon, but he also was a deacon chair this past year, and he's going to recognize those who will be completing service right now.
Good morning. As I mentioned, the individuals who are outgoing, if they would please stand. So I would like to take this moment to recognize the following individuals whose three-year service commitment ends today. Cecilia Cobble, James Cobbler, Gary Christ, Jay Edmonds, Kent Hobson. I'd personally also like to thank each one of them for their service to the church. They have been invaluable resources for the Deacon Board over the past 3 years. I appreciate their insight, feedback, and honesty as we have dealt with many items during the last few years. Additionally, I would like to say a special thank you to all the deacons that I have been fortunate enough to serve with and get to know. And on behalf of all deacons, I would like to extend a heartfelt thank you to the entire congregation for the support, encouragement, and feedback they have provided. I truly appreciate all you do as a body of Christ. And of course, lastly, I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you to my wife, Melissa, for these past 3 years of support, especially on those Wednesday nights when meetings can go longer than you anticipate. So thank you to everyone in the church. Thank you.
We certainly want to say a word of thank you to you, Chris, for your leadership this past year. I'd like to now introduce to you, and most of you know Carolyn Matthews. Carolyn is going to be our deacon chair for this coming year, and she's coming at this time to recognize those that will be installed this morning.
At this time, I'd like to introduce those people who will be installed today and ask them to stand and remain standing. Joseph Alexander, Gary Elkins, Rick Matthews, Marinelle Page, Jim Purnell, and Russell Talley. I'd like to say that I look forward to serving with you as well as the remainder of our deacons as servant leaders. And my challenge to these people, to all of our deacons, and to all of you, comes from Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. Thank you.
You may be seated. Joseph Alexander is a newly elected deacon. Joseph is also actually an ordained minister. And so this morning, as he comes to begin 3 years of service, we've asked him if he would come and share a little bit about his personal journey that's brought him to this point.
Raymond called me the other day and asked me to tell a little bit about myself and a little bit about my heart and who I am. And so I'm going to try to be brief with that. I first want to say that I am honored to be here today and do not take this lightly. Melanie and Reese, who are here today, and my parents and my uncle and aunt are actually here today. Wilson is sick this morning, and he is so proud that I'm going to be a deacon, and he wanted to be here so bad. And so I just mentioned that there's a piece of the family missing today, but we're so excited to be here at College Park, and we love our church, and I will do my best to serve in this new capacity, which I believe, as Carolyn mentioned, a leadership of service, serving others. Melanie and I very much see that God can use us when we're willing to serve and step up to when there's a need, and if we're willing. I was struck when we first came to this church as we were trying to find where God was leading us, just how friendly this church was. Just people went out of their way to come and speak to us and say, welcome, we're glad you're here, hope you'll come back. And after we got engaged, I was so struck by just the heart of missions that this church has. And and I'm proud to say I'm a member of this church and to be serving along with you. And I think it's so important to be welcoming to others and to get out of our comfort zone to go up and welcome folks. And it's up to us to be God's hands and feet. And if we're not going to do it, who's going to do it? So God is calling us. There were a few scriptures I just wanted to share that kind of guide my ministry and my life as a Christian, and I thought it may pertain to our church life and for all of us. And it's been meaningful for me as a chaplain, and I mentioned a few months ago that I've taken a new job as a pastoral counselor with CareNet. And this first scripture is very meaningful. It's from Isaiah 43, and I'd like to share that with you. And if you'll bear with me with just a few things I'd like to read. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are precious and honored in my sight, and I love you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And this tells me that God is with us. God loves us. And when we are God's children, we're not alone. And when we feel like we're drowning or going to burn up by all these trials that may come our way, and trials will come our way, they will not overcome us. For we just come from the Christmas season, and we've heard the term Emmanuel, God with us. If we are Christ, if we are God's children, God is with us. The second, and I'm trying not to do a sermon. There's three scriptures. I'm sorry. Let me check this. Sorry. The second passage is one that Melanie printed for me, and we washed out a picture of our kids in their little car when they were a kid, and it's on my wall. It's from actually, that's another one, but this one is very similar. Sorry. Take two. But from Galatians 5:22, it says, actually, the other one's the last one. I'm sorry. Let me go ahead and read that one. It's from Colossians 3:12. It says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Be thankful. Let Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in wisdom and gratitude in your hearts, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So I'm a little out of sorts here, but I want to kind of summarize this. This gives us an idea of what God desires us to live like as God's chosen people. Compassionate, kind, and humble, and meek, patient folks, bearing with one another, and having forgiveness in our heart, and trying to live in harmony with one another. And we should be peacemakers and seek unity, even in tough situations that we face as a church or as Christians. But teaching and admonishing when necessary, but being thankful and serving. The last one is from Galatians 5:22. It says, which I believe that we as Christians should emulate. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. The thing I like about this so much as a Christian, and I think as a church, that it uses the term keep in step with the Spirit and not provoking each other. And I think we really need to get in step with what God is doing and with the Spirit and be a part of that. And that kind of inspires me to get involved. And when we first came here, we wanted to get involved. And thank you so much for allowing us to just jump in there and accepting us and giving us a place where we can minister. Thank you.
This is not listed in your order of service, but as Joseph had come and shared his heart, I think it's appropriate if you would join me in praying for Joseph and his family as he embarks on this new adventure of serving in this capacity. Would you join me in saying amen? We want to join together now in a covenant of commitment. It's listed in your order of service. I hope that you will read along as we work through the installation in this covenant. I want to invite those deacons who are being newly installed, if you would join me in standing now. You've been elected to serve as a deacon at College Park. You've declared your willingness to serve. I ask your assent to the following questions. Do you affirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and His church? Do you accept the office of deacon in this church and promise faithfully to perform its duties? Do you promise to seek to be open to the Holy Spirit to be used for the fulfillment of God's purpose to His church and cooperate with the pastor and members in promoting harmony and effectiveness in all its ministries? Do you who are presently serving as active deacons reaffirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and His church? Do you pledge to unite with these new members of the diaconate in faithful service, seeking always to let Christ be lifted up? If so, would you let it be known by your standing? Do you, the members of College Park Baptist Church, pledge yourselves anew to the person of Jesus Christ and His church? Do you acknowledge and receive these new persons as deacons? Do you promise to encourage and pray for them in their office and to cooperate with them in the fulfillment of the mission of the church? If so, would you please join us in standing? As your brother in Christ and as your pastor, I charge you, the candidates, and you, the members of College Park Baptist Church, to remember the covenant that we've made with each other and to carry out these promises faithfully as God gives us wisdom and strength. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship together, to feel your presence here with us, leading us, giving us courage, giving us strength, giving us encouragement. Father, we pray that as your children, imperfect as we are, that you would correct us and guide us, that you would give us a heart for others, but most of all, that you would give us a heart to be more like Christ, in whose name we covenant together and pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Invite you to turn with me as we begin our study today. If you would turn with me to Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Luke chapter 3. Since typically thought of, I know it's kind of an Advent type of reading. We want to start together in Luke chapter 3 and read a little bit this morning. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee. You know, for years I kind of ignored a lot of this stuff. As you're reading along, you read these names, you read where they were, you read what they were doing. And I kind of ignored like verses 1 through 3 because I thought, You know, the important stuff is down here in verses 4 through 6. A voice calling in the desert. Prepare the way. I mean, that's the good stuff, right? What's all this verses 1 through 3 stuff? All these names, dates, places. You know, my tendency has always been to call people to action. That's just kind of my personality. Get on with it. You know, get on with the voice calling. Be that voice in the wilderness saying, prepare the way. Help people to understand. Help them to understand that we need to be people of action. Believers, we need to be preparing the way. We need to join John in his exclamation to the people to prepare the way for the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's been my tendency. But I'll be honest with you, having seen no dramatic improvement in humanity over the years, the temptation to come back this morning and try to find some other way to say it, to motivate people, to hear God's word, to hear the exclamation of John to prepare the way for the Lord. You know, it just seems a little bit frustrating. Seems a little bit aggravating that humanity has not advanced to actually do what Scripture calls us to do. I don't know. But as I read it this time, I didn't get past verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, my mind, I mean, that just kept echoing in my mind. And finally, in irritation more than anything else, I stopped and I asked myself, what does that have to do with anything? I mean, who cares whose reign it was? Who cares what was going on? Who cares that Herod was ruler of Galilee? Who cares about Pontius Pilate? I mean, it just seems to be filler material. And then you stop and say, well, Raymond, you've spent a lot of time on filler material in the past, telling us about the historical context for things and how we need to understand the historical context and really understand Scripture. And yeah, you're right. I have. And I agree with you. We do need to understand the historical context because, you know, I realize that, I don't know how to put this. I realize that it is the particularity and the specificity, if you will, that gives me trouble. I've wanted to ignore that. Let me put it in the present tense. Sometimes I want to ignore the specificity and the particularity of Scripture. I want to forget that God operates in the particular and the specific. In this time and in this place, in the right here, in the right now, in the universe in which you and I find ourselves, that's where God chooses to work. Let me rephrase. In the second year after Vladimir Putin left office, when George Bush was no longer president of the United States and Tony Blair had retired as prime minister of Great Britain, the word of God came to Aung San Suu Kyi under house arrest in Burma. The word of God came to Rigoberta Menchu Tomb in Guatemala, giving voice to the hundreds of thousands of Mayan children, women, and men who were silenced in the genocides of the 1980s. The word of God comes to Wangari Maathai in Kenya, who is empowering women farmers to take care of their families. Today, the 10th of January, 2010, the word of God comes to us. All of those details, all those names, those dates, they're important. Not because they tell us that something happened in the 15th year of the Emperor Tiberius, but that something is happening. Even as we live, even as we speak, even as we listen, even as we sing and as we pray, as we announce the upcoming covered ditch and we announce John Doe's recovery from surgery, even as we share lunch and gossip, even as we share lunch and exchange news items after the service today. In other words, they're here to tell us that God is working when God always works, and that's in the present. in our present. And our work is to be in the present, to be present to God and to work with God as He wills. So by setting us in time and place, the evangelist is alerting us that preparing is not about remembering how some other people prepared once upon a time by going out to the banks of the Jordan to be baptized by John. It's not about planning for some future event, the parousia, when time will end as we understand it and there'll be nothing left but God's glory. Preparing is how we're living right here, right now, in the realm of God or outside of it. The verb is in the present tense. Prepare. The message is about the present. Prepare. All these years I've wanted to talk about the future. You know, it's a whole lot easier to do that because in doing so you distance yourself from God's presence rather than being right in the very moment with God. Coming out of Advent, it's easy to recall that probably a lot of the sermons you've heard about this passage and Advent in general usually go something like this. They kind of start out, this Advent, in other words, in the next 4 weeks or so, this Advent, let's take seriously what John is proclaiming here. This year, let's get our hearts ready to welcome the risen one into our lives, starting right after the service is over or perhaps tomorrow because today is already planned out. And the writer's saying, no, now, right now. In the 15th year of Emperor Tiberius, on this day in the year 2010, because today, John the Baptist is speaking to those of us who are alive in 2010. He's not speaking to those in 30 AD, give or take a year or so. So what task and relationships and transformations is God inviting you to be a part of in 2010. You see, God is actually here now. He's here now, eager to be noticed, eager to reveal His realm of love for and with us. So what mountain, what molehill of misunderstanding can be lowered right now? Not after the service is over, but right now. Not tomorrow, but right now. Do you need to get up from where you're seated and cross over the sanctuary and say someone on the other side, I'm sorry I accused you of bad intentions when it came to name the issue there. I want to listen more carefully right now while you explain your reasoning. Maybe I can learn something. What valley of despair or disillusionment or need can be filled right now? What person can be comforted because of the loss of a loved one very recently? Is there someone in your life that can't pay a utility bill or has lost a job and is scared to death because they can't take care of their family? Is there someone with a sign or a cup that you may have passed on the way to church this morning and you became irritated that they would have the nerve, a homeless person out there, oh, not another one out there begging? Do you need to leave the sanctuary and go knock on the friend's door and reassure them that no matter what happens in the future, you will be there to share what you have to help them make it through? Do you need to go right now and get a money order and make it out to a utility company and slide it through the door of someone you know that needs that? Do you need to go back to that street corner and offer something of substance that will encourage someone? You don't have to wait till the sermon's over. You can get up and go now. Well, matter of fact, I think the sermon is over. Because there's something we need to do. We need to quit talking and probably need to get about action. We need to prepare the way of the Lord on this day in 2010. Not tomorrow, not next year, today. Right now. Because right now is when the way needs to be prepared. By you and by me. And we ask that God's blessing will be with us all. Let's pray together. Dear Father, right now in this moment, in the full presence of you and in the present time and place, we ask that you would touch our hearts, convict us, cleanse us, purify us from all evil. Father, we understand that sometimes evil is disguised as pride. And so we ask that you would push us out of the way and fill us instead with your Holy Spirit. We ask for your correction, your guidance, your encouragement, your love, as we seek to be truly your hands and feet. And in doing so, prepare the way for you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. The invitation is kind of multifaceted. As we stand and sing, if you recognize there's somewhere you need to go, something you need to do, don't come tell me, go do it. But if there is something you would like for me to pray with you about, I'd be glad to talk with you and pray with you. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this is your day. I can't say it any other way. He's placed you here not by accident, but to hear the message of Jesus Christ and to respond to that. I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Him as your Lord and Savior. If you're here and you're saying, Raymond, my priorities are all out of whack and I need to get focused back on what God wants me to be and to do right now in this day and time. As we prepare for a new year, I can't think of a better way to start a new year than to reprioritizing and giving God first place in your life. The altar will certainly be open. I'll be glad to pray with you if you'd like for me to. And if you're here this morning and you'd like to be a part of this fellowship, there's a number of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to stand now and respond however you feel led to do so. Gracious God, be merciful unto us. As we go from this place, allow us to be used by you so that you can receive the glory and you alone. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.